Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of our 18 locations across the Commonwealth.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and Johnny McGonigal.
All right, Penn State football fans, and you, Johnny McGonigal, Philadelphia Eagle football fan, welcome aboard to the Blue White Breakdown. Eagles fans, congrats on your spot in the NFC Championship game, where you will be playing the San Francisco 49ers. My Cowboys just didn't get it done. Deserve to be bounced. Johnny, congrats. I know what you're going to be doing on Sunday around 3 o'clock. I have a pretty good idea what most Penn State fans are going to be doing around 3 o'clock on Sunday. But Johnny, let's talk about Penn State's newest wide receivers coach, Marcus Hagans, replacing Taylor Stubblefield. We have a lot to get to in this show, and I know you're psyched about the birds, but Marcus Hagans, interesting guy, long-time assistant at Virginia, and the reason I bring that up is Penn State's struggle to keep their wideout coaches, or they've made a lot of changes during James Franklin's time. Why do you think this will be different?
Yeah, Bob, on Sunday, I'll be at the link. I'll be one of 68,000 going to the game, had to pull the trigger.
You had to.
Go Birds. But before that, in the days leading up to that, I'll be talking to a bunch of former Virginia wide receivers about Marcus Hagans, about Penn State's new wide receivers coach, a guy who has been synonymous with Virginia football for a very long time. He started his, he played college there. He was a star quarterback, four-year letter winner in the early aughts, and came back as a graduate assistant in 2011, started coaching wide receivers specifically there in 2013, and did that up until he decided this week, maybe even a few days, maybe over the weekend, to come to Penn State and link up with James Franklin and his staff. It's a big move for Marcus Hagans. It's a big move for Penn State. And you mentioned he's the fifth wide receivers coach in James Franklin's now tenure. Taylor Stubblefield was here for 3 years. You had Jared Parker and David Corley for one season apiece, and Josh Gattis starting off with James Franklin here at Penn State, coming over from Vanderbilt. This is a play where I feel like you bring in a guy who has been at a program for over a decade. That bears, that bodes well if you want someone to come in and be, settled and be a program guy and be here for a while. Familiarity on staff helps as well. With Anthony Poindexter, Penn State's safeties coach and co-defensive coordinator. Anthony was a GA when Marcus was a player, I believe. And then they overlapped on the same Virginia staff for a few years as well. So a lot of familiarity between those two, and a lot of familiarity with the area that Penn State likes to recruit down in Virginia and the, the DC, Maryland area. That helps. And so I think it's a nice hire for Penn State. We get into it a little bit more here, but overall, I think it's a really good hire for James Franklin and his staff.
Yeah, a couple of things. You mentioned Poindexter. I would draw a couple of conclusions, I think, pretty easily. Anthony Poindexter, during his time at Penn State, has done a fantastic job as coach of the safeties. I think he might have been in the mix to be the Virginia head coach a couple of years ago. I think the job went to Tony Elliott. But the reason I bring that up is I think James really likes what Poindexter has brought to Penn State in all facets. I think seeing that, and if a guy like maybe Anthony Poindexter can pound the table maybe for a guy like Hagans, I think James is going to be all ears. How big of a role do you think Poindexter could have played in this? And do you think that James makes the call to get Higgins if he doesn't hear from Poindexter about just what he likes about a guy like Marcus?
Well, this is a relationship between Marcus Higgins and Anthony Poindexter that I mentioned goes back a while, and they've been friends for a long time. And I think that was even rekindled a little bit talking to a couple of writers who cover ACC football and Virginia specifically down there. A relationship that was kind of rekindled when Anthony Poindexter was in the running for that UVA job and that went to Tony Elliott. But I do think that that played a role in Marcus Higgins coming and feeling comfortable coming to Penn State. That definitely helps. But also, this is a situation where it's a step up for him professionally. Coming to the Big Ten, coming to a major program, we've seen what he's been able to do developing wide receivers at Virginia, a really good academic institution. And obviously in the ACC, it's a Power Five program, has had some success, even going back, Bronco Mendenhall and the 2021 offense in particular was really good. But you look at the kind of receivers that Virginia has had, they're not getting four-star, five-star guys on a consistent basis. They're not getting five-star guys at all, but four stars on a consistent basis. But what Marcus has been able to do with some of that talent, Olamide Zaccheaus was a good player and is in the NFL now. Joe Reed, most recently Dontavian Wicks, guys who are sneaky in the upper echelon in terms of stats year after year among FBS programs, among FBS wide receivers. He knows how to develop guys. He knows how to build relationships. And I think that played a factor as well. This is not just a thing where him and Anthony Poindexter are boys. So let's bring him on. He's a really good wide receivers coach. And he's proven it over a decade at Virginia. And it's a nice add for Penn State.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you mentioned Taylor Stubblefield, hired, I think, prior to the 2020 season. 3 years is really the longest he's ever been, I think, at one school. He's really bounced around a lot. He was also the offensive recruiting coordinator when he left Penn State, and that's a title, I think, that Marcus is going to inherit. You mentioned how well he knows the Virginia, Maryland, D.C. Area, and that's a fertile ground for Penn State. They've always been able to get players out of that area, and really good ones. But Johnny, as you look at the Penn State receiver position during Taylor's time there, yes, Jahan Dotson was a tremendous player, but he was kind of already here by the time I think Stubblefield had set foot at State College. So he's not real. I mean, you can make the argument he developed them a little bit, but I mean, they need to recruit the position better, and I think that's pretty clear. And also, I think they need to develop the position a little bit better. They had to dip into the transfer portal to get a couple of, guys that are really talented. One of the reasons they did is, they lost Parker Washington and Mitchell Tinsley, but there's some young players on the Penn State roster at receiver they like, but I don't know that they're really quite sure what they have in them. So I'm just wondering, big picture, the need to be better at recruiting at this position, I think, had to weigh on James's mind.
Yeah, you could always do better recruiting. You can always get, higher rated guys. I think this decision, though, is more of a developmental thing because, like you mentioned, Jahan Dotson was already on campus when Taylor Stubblefield was hired back in 2020. I think Stubblefield did some nice things as wide receivers coach. This was a little bit of a surprise to both of us that he was fired and didn't leave for another opportunity because I didn't, did he do enough to be fired? I guess that's a luxury that James Franklin had to be able to hire someone like Marcus Higgins and bring someone in like that. But yeah, Jahan Dotson was already here. Parker Washington, I don't think, produced this past year as well or as much as people maybe thought he would. And he missed the last three games of the season, so you have to take that into account. Mitchell Tinsley was a nice add from the portal from Western Kentucky, and that was really Stubblefield that drove that home, went and visited him, and he was a main reason why Mitchell ended up coming to Penn State in the first place. But this past season, you kept looking for a third receiver to emerge, and you like what you saw out of Keandre Lambert-Smith in the Rose Bowl, but it was too inconsistent and leaning a little bit more on the tight ends in the running game. I just think from a developmental standpoint, there's a lot of talent in that wide receiver room. They brought in five guys in the 2022 class. They've got Carmelo Taylor coming in as a 2023 signee. He'll be in the summer. And then going to the portal and getting Dante Cephas and Malik McLean from Kent State and Florida State, respectively, two guys who are uber talented. And Cephas, It was an under-recruited guy coming out of high school and has proven it in the MAC. And McLean was a highly touted guy coming out of high school that hasn't quite proved it as much at Florida State. So you've got a lot to work with. And if you're able to get a guy who can come in and develop what they have, develop a Caden Saunders, an Amari Evans, in the short term, when you look at what you have with this window and Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, in 2023, Olu Fashanu in this offensive line, you want results. There's no time to waste here with where this Penn State program is positioned for this season and 2024. And I think that is on the forefront, development, and then also being able to secure some of your top targets, because I know that James Franklin and people in that building were not happy with missing out on some of the transfer targets that they set out to get. Caden Prather and Devin Carter ended up committing, then decommitting. They weren't able to get Dante Thornton in from Oregon, who was a previous high school commit to Penn State. So some frustration there as well. But this is a play for a guy who is a relationships-based leader, is what James Franklin called him. Every indication that I've gotten from people I've talked to in Virginia supports that. And yeah, this is a guy who knows how to develop wide receivers at a lower level than Penn State. So if he's able to do that at Penn State with the type of talent that they've got, I think he got something cooking there.
All right, Johnny, before we move on from the new wideouts coach and the receiver room, just going to tee you up here. I have some thoughts. Who's the one receiver not named Keandre Lambert-Smith, whether it's a transfer portal guy, a freshman, or a second-year player, or a third-year player? Who's the one guy that you're going to really be looking at closely this offseason, whether it's spring drills, winter conditioning, even spinning it into August, as a guy that you think is a guy that maybe Marcus really can kind of accelerate his development, and who could be a factor in the fall? Who's a key guy in the wideout room in your mind?
Yeah, there's a few really quick. You mentioned winter workouts and spring, so that doesn't really apply to Dante Cephas because he's wrapping up academically at Kent State and he'll enroll in the summer. Malik McLean, the transfer in from Florida State, was a former four-star talent, an IMG Academy teammate of Katron Allen. In high school, the college prep program down there in Florida. He's enrolled. He's taking classes. He's taking part in winter workouts. He'll be available in spring camp. So I'm interested to see what Marcus Higgins is able to do with him. And then, again, going back to that freshman group, the five 2022 signees, Caden Saunders, Anthony Ivey, Tyler Johnson, Christian Driver, and Amari Evans. There's a lot of talent in that room. Now, is Christian Driver going to end up on the defensive side of the ball again? Maybe. But Caden Saunders was a top-tier talent. A lot of programs wanted him. I mean, you're talking a borderline five-star talent. And he didn't really show much this past season. He had a lot of growing to do, a lot of developing to do. And I'm interested to see what kind of steps he's able to take with a full offseason here ahead of the 2023 season. So, Cephas for the summer, once he gets in from Kent State. But right now, winter workouts and spring ball, McLean, and I'm going to say Saunders. I liked what he had on his high school tape, and I'd be interested to see if that really starts to translate here in his second year in the program.
Yeah, I like one guy I'll be watching is Wallace. I just think, just athletically, he's a guy that if it ever all comes together for him, I think he's got the tools to really be a very, very productive Big Ten wide receiver. You see it in flashes, whether it was the blue-white game or whether it was – there were some times, I think, even in season, you're like, wow, this guy puts it all together. He has a chance to be really good. And you never know. It could happen in a hurry. And I was always curious, Johnny. I know that I think you picked up on this, too. Whenever Stubblefield was asked about Saunders, he was kind of like, it was Caden was a guy that you're right. He was a guy that was, I think, the first guy in that recruiting class. Everyone was raving about him. KJ Hamler, like tools, enrolled early, but I always felt like Taylor was really like, he just was, maybe it was tough love, but he gave off the vibe that maybe Caden wasn't really taking it seriously in the off season or not really ready to go at the start. He was hopeful that he could turn it on, but I was a little surprised by how frank Taylor was when it came to kind of evaluating a very young receiver. You usually don't hear that when you're talking about that good of a prospect, but I was just wondering, he said it more than once. He said it, I think, in the spring. He said it again in August, and it was curious to hear him say that.
It was, and you always have to look for those little nuggets of info, the little diamonds in the rough when you're talking to some of these assistant coaches aren't all that honest, but he was pretty honest when it came to Caden Saunders. But again, we know what kind of talent he has from when he came in at Penn State And we know what kind of talent Harrison Wallace said, a guy that you mentioned who, you know, can take the top off the defense. We've seen him, you know, make downfield catch after downfield catch. It was always in spurts, though. And I think a part of that, too, is the offense, is Sean Clifford, is everything that we've always, you know, talked about with that downfield passing attack that was at many times in 2022 was lacking. And you hope that with Marcus Akins coming in, and if you're able to, you know, establish more of a downfield threat through the passing offense with Drew Aller, that things can just kind of click a little bit more. But again, when you talk about an offense that's, it has the staples of a Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, this offensive line and the tight ends, it really is. I think a big part of this upcoming season is going to come down to the rapport between Drew Aller, assuming he is the starting quarterback, and these wide receivers. And Marcus Higgins is going to play such a big part in all this. So I think this is a key hire, one that we'll look back on in a couple of years from James Franklin and say, all right, one, was this the right hire? Or two, hey, that was, you know, and how this all works out, because I think it is really integral. It helps that Marcus can come in and already feel familiar with Anthony Poindexter in the building and feel comfortable. It's a big offseason for Penn State in that wide receiver room. It's a big few months upcoming, and I'm interested to see how it all plays out. We'll get a little bit of a glimpse of it, you know, during spring practice and obviously the blue-white game, but really we won't know until the ball kicks against West Virginia.
What the wide receiver position has just become, maybe if it's not number one on the list, because everyone's going to be excited about, you know, Drew and the quarterback position and some other positions, it's got to be close now. There's been a lot of change in that room. They brought in some players. They got a new coach. I think a lot of eyes will be on the wide receiver room.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Everyone's journey is different, and we are honored to guide you to the best relationship with this incredible plant. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of our 18 locations across the Commonwealth.
Let's move along and get to a couple of points, see what jumps out at you. Brian Urlacher's son, a safety offered by PSU. Penn State had another, I think since we last talked, I don't know if we covered it the last time we talked. Maybe we did. Jaden Dotton in the transfer portal, maybe not a huge surprise. Penn State's had 9 or 10 kids appear in the portal. And also they got a run-on commitment from a very fast Louisiana running back. David Kensey, I believe, is the name. I think he ran for over 1,500 yards, runs in the 4.4 range. Of those three things, Johnny, what intrigues you the most?
The Kennedy Urlacher thing makes me feel old, Bob. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not even 30 yet, and it makes me feel old knowing that Brian Urlacher's son is a recruit and seeing, you know, Asante Samuel Jr. in the league, you know, for a while, like all of these things. I'm like, I used to play, you know, Brian Urlacher on Madden. Now his kid is you know, potentially a Penn State player. He's a guy who has offers from Iowa and Kansas State, a handful of Power Five programs. So that interests me. Adding the walk-on running back, you need depth always at running back, especially with Kevon Lee out the door. Even though I did see that Kevon Lee attended a Penn State basketball game recently. I don't know if you saw that.
I don't know what to think about number 24. He is a quirky dude. He had his moments. He's had his moments at Penn State, a physical back. But, man, whether it's social media or just some of the decisions, I'm just not sure what's going on with number 24.
Yeah, and then Jaden Dotton entering the portal, not really a surprise to me, but the wide receiver position, as we talked about, it's in transition, but it's got a lot of bodies. It's got five signees from the 2022 class. Mentioned Carmelo Taylor from the 23 class. The two transfers coming in. You've still got guys like Malik Mega, you know, Liam Clifford, again, Harrison Wallace and Keandre Lambert-Smith. It's looking like, assuming the Cephas gets in and Carmelo Taylor is, you know, he's signed, but, you know, enrolls and all that, it's looking like Penn State will have 12 scholarship receivers for the 2023 season. So that's a lot of guys to sift through, you know, if you're Marcus Higgins. And it's a lot of competition if you're a guy like Jaden Dotton, who feels like you can enter the portal and, you know, look for more playing time, greener pastures elsewhere. And it was interesting because that was the last, I believe, unless I missed something, was the last addition from Penn State's roster into the portal before the winter transfer portal window closed last week. So FBS players who are not grad transfers can't enter the portal again until May. And then at that point, you know, again, that's spring ball in the rearview mirror. Guys know where they stand a little bit more after 15 practices and talking to their position coaches and their head coaches. So we shouldn't see any real roster movement from now until then, other than guys joining the 2024 recruiting class. So right now, I feel like Penn State, I think they're one spot over the 85 scholarship limit. So they know that a few more guys are going to have to, you know, end up leaving. Some roster attrition will naturally happen if they want to add more from the transfer portal, which is what you come to expect these days. So, yeah, we'll have to just kind of wait and see on how this roster shapes up in May. But right now, I feel like they're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny, as we talk about this on Tuesday, January 24th, because I heard from at least one or a couple of Penn State tech subscribers, Penn State, I think, they just have two commitments in the 2024 class. But I don't, looking around, that to me is not that unusual for it to be that low of a number. You look at what Ohio State and Michigan have done. And I know that James Franklin never sleeps. I know he's always working. He and his staff are working on other prospects. But for them to have only two prospects in the third week in January, to me, that is not surprising at all. I just was wondering if you could kind of speak to that in case there's any other Penn State fans that are out there wondering why there's only two players in the 2024 class.
No, it's still early. I like the two players that they do have in their class, Cooper Cousins, the lineman from Erie McDowell, and Anthony Specka, the linebacker from Central Catholic, who was recruited by Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan. It looked like for a time that Michigan was the favorite there, and for Penn State to lock him down as well. Recently, I think that's a big add. They're having junior days. They're having kids on campus. They're going to have more kids on campus over the summer. Like, this thing will pick up. There's still plenty of time to add recruits to the 24 class. I would not be worried at all.
Yeah, I'm not worried. They shouldn't be worried. And I think they tend to get things done in bunches, so they could go. They could go a couple of weeks with very little activity, and then, in a couple of months, they could get three or four kids, in a couple of weeks. It happens that quickly with Penn State and James Franklin. Let's talk. James is now in his 10th year, which is, to me, you mentioned feeling old in Urlacher. That's another one that I can distinctly remember him his first month on the job in 2014. Crazy to think it's been, he's now in his 10th year. But let's talk about a former Penn State head coach, the guy that he succeeded. You could see where I went there, Johnny. Bill O'Brien, recently the Alabama OC under Nick Saban, now back with his old buddy Bill Belichick in New England. They definitely need an offensive upgrade. I don't think it's very surprising that he's doing that. My question for you, Johnny, is do you think the college game has seen the last of Bill O'Brien?
I think it has. I think this is one of those where he's in New England now, again, and this just feels like he's an NFL guy. It always felt like he was at Alabama just to get the Nick Saban rehab job, the coaching rehab, the playbook that Saban has down there, and then just get back to the NFL. And he's got a nice little project there for himself in New England with Mac Jones. And who knows how much longer Bill Belichick is going to end up coaching. I'm sure that he's going to coach until the very end. He's that kind of guy. I think B.O.B. has always kind of been an NFL guy. He's always handled himself like an NFL guy. And I'm interested to see how it all works out again in New England, back where it all began without Tom Brady. That doesn't necessarily help. But no, I'm interested to see what kind of rehab job, how he constructs Mac Jones and the offense. And it was kind of a whoa moment. Wait, seeing this morning, recording this on Tuesday afternoon, the news that he was going back to New England, and it was tweeted by I don't know if you remember Andrew Callahan, who used to cover Penn State for 247, a good friend of mine, and seeing the little parallels. So I'll have to talk to Andrew about Bill O'Brien's fit once again in New England.
Yeah, it's weird. I read that when he took the OC job at Alabama, it was actually Mac Jones who taught him the Alabama offense to get him up to speed in a hurry. Now he goes back. He's going to work with Mac Jones. And I think they're probably going to switch roles. I hope Mac Jones likes getting yelled at, is what I would say. That's one of the ways that Bill likes to get his word across. But he's done it really at every stop. What he was able to do with Matt McGloin first, because Matt McGloin was not a not a coveted kid coming out of high school, and I don't want to say afterthought, but what he was able to do with him in 2012 was remarkable. But also, he was the only guy that really could get anything going with Christian Hackenberg. I mean, he did some great things with him in his only year. So I think the arrow is definitely trending up for the Patriots offense, if you're a Patriots fan. But I hope Mac Jones isn't real. I hope he doesn't have thin skin. That's all I'll say, Mac. If you're listening, just get ready, because it'd be coming at any time from Bill O'Brien when he gets ticked off. Johnny, one final thing here on the Blue-White Breakdown, unless you have something. I just want to know, I'm psyched that you're going to the Eagles game. What's the Sunday itinerary? The game's at like 3. How many people are going? What's the tailgate situation? I think the weather, who cares what the weather's going to be like, right? But I mean, you're going to be all amped up, but how early is your day going to start?
Well, look, let's just put it this way. If there are any recruits that commit on Sunday, that's all you. All right. No, I'm not 100% sure on plans. I'm going with some family, meeting up with some buddies as well. Might do some tailgating. Don't think we're going to bother with Xfinity Live. That's going to be an absolute nightmare. So maybe we'll go somewhere to a bar, South Philly before an Uber over or something. We'll figure it out. But I kind of wish the Birds were playing the Cowboys.
I think every Eagles fan wanted to see that.
Especially after seeing how he played. I wanted Dak Prescott. I didn't necessarily want to see Micah Parsons living in the Eagles backfield. But I wanted to see Dak Prescott, and we won't get that. So yeah. we'll have to see what Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, has for us. So
I have a funny feeling you're not the only Penn State beat writer that may matriculate themselves either to the tailgate lots or into the game in one way, shape, or form. As I've learned, the Penn State beat has a lot of Phillies fans, but also a lot of Eagles fans, a lot of Philadelphia influence. So it's been a real special year for you guys so far. Hopefully it can continue. I know you wanted Dallas, and I think if Dallas made it to Philadelphia, as a Cowboys fan, I don't think it would have been a very enjoyable day for me. And I think they got what they deserved out in San Francisco. But the Eagles are a different animal. And that crowd is going to be raring to go. It should be a fantastic experience for you. And yeah, hopefully James Franklin will not add anyone to his staff or to his roster until either Monday or maybe like Sunday afternoon at noon would be great. But if you could just kind of pump the brakes on Sunday, I know you'd appreciate it. I think that's it for this one, the Blue-White Breakdown. Johnny and I will be back. We could be talking about Johnny going to the Super Bowl next week somehow. If it's possible. But Johnny, good luck this week, and we will have more Penn State football news throughout the week.
This has been the Blue-White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.